Belfast City Council has launched a plan to bring the population of the city back to pre-trouble levels. It's estimated that about 100,000 people moved out of Belfast in the 70s and 80s. Now the council is trying to encourage people to come back and hopes 66,000 more people will move into the city. Will it work? Is it a good place to live? Well, the journalist Jim McDowell with us today. Morning to you, Jim.
How you doing, Stephen?
So it's good to talk to you. I haven't spoken to you in quite a while, Jim. Nice to hear.
Aren't you lucky?
To hear your voice this morning. So what are you making of this? Do we need more people in the city? Some people would argue, like let's have a wee bit more space rather than more people.
Well, that's one of the problems, Stephen. 37,000 more houses is the projection. Where are you going to build them? Ormo Park, a Falls Park, Barnett's Park. If you look at Belfast, it's pretty packed at the moment, Titanic Quarter, apartments and all the rest. But there's no reason to stifle ambition. I mean, we've gone from bomb town to boom town. We're halfway there, Stephen. You look what's happened in the Cathedral Quarter. You know, the pulse beat of the pavement, the change in attitude in people. You know, from Belfast being a ghost town, walking home at night in the early 70s, and nobody on the streets at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. The Shankill Butcher stalking the streets, bombs and bullets potentially flying. And you look where we've got to now. It's a smashing city, and it's only bound by its own ambition.
So you would encourage us to bring more people back, would you?
Of course, if you look at the great job, Stephen, I mean, you're from the Earl Heelan angle of Shankill. I'm from down at the Gasworks, Donegal Pass. But you look at the job that the housing executive has done on the Shankill, the Falls, the Market, you know, the lower arm, the Donegal Pass, those kind of areas, inner city areas. Now, what that did, unfortunately, Stephen, was it squeezed people out. Combined with the troubles, it squeezed people out because the wee kitchen houses, you know, with an outside toilet and all the rest, housed many thousands more people than the new homes that the housing executive built in those places, smashing homes. But the thing about it is, you know, it'd be great to get those people back in. We lost the likes of Twinbrook and Lagmore to Lisburn Council, now Castlereagh and Lisburn Council. We lost in the east people moving out to Ballybean, Tullycarnet. But if those people, Belfast inner city has so much potential. One of the problems, as you say, Stephen, is land, is building
land. And space, Jim, and 66,000. If the council hit its target and 66,000 more people came back to the city, then that's an increase in traffic, isn't it? That's a decrease in the relative amount of space that we all have at the moment. It's more pressure on housing. You know, can the city cope with that?
Stephen, you'll have 66,000 people coming in here, tourists, during the summer. We can cope with that, okay. You may say they're staying in boarding houses and hotels, but we've got almost 100 cruise ships coming into Belfast this summer. That influx, okay, it's not permanent. We can handle that. We've now got the infrastructure there to handle that. But the other thing is, Stephen, Belfast is becoming much more of a multicultural city, and that's needed. I'm proud to be on the board of governors of my old school. We've got kids speaking 13 different languages in that school in South Belfast now. That's where Belfast needs to go. Multicultural and you know, the content multicultural, but the ambition big and blousy. We're not going to be Rome, London, Paris, New York, Boston. But that shouldn't stop us. I think the council's right with this kind of vision. That shouldn't stop us having that vision to be a kind of mini city like those cultural capitals of Europe and indeed the world.
But is there enough on in Belfast for it to stack up there as a major city, attractive enough to want to? Like, I love Belfast. Like, I absolutely, you know, I'm broadcasting this program this morning from Manchester. I get home on Sunday. I can't wait to get home. I love Northern Ireland. I love Belfast. I love where I live down in Strangford Lough. I just love our landscape. I love our people. There's nothing like landing in the airport, but. Have we got enough, Jim, to those people that don't have an inherent love in it, where they're just neutral, compared to other cities around the world?
Oh, of course. we do, Stephen. I mean, our greatest investment, our greatest attribute, our greatest quality are our people, whether it's Belfast or Northern Ireland or indeed Ireland. We've got the best people in the world. And, you know, the biggest hole that I see, the black hole that I see in this plan, Stephen, is that the plan that they're going to look at creating 46,000 more jobs. Well, look at what those clowns up at Stormont have created in the past, you know, since the executive and the assembly was set up. All they're doing for our young people, all they've brought in are call centre jobs. Kids go in, they're pitched out, they don't meet their targets after 3 months. Where are we going to get 46,000 sustainable and strategic jobs to give kids a chance, to give our kids a chance going into the future? That's the one big black hole, Stephen. And the other thing I might mention is that Belfast City Council has had this kind of vision before. There's been a lot of bad things about Belfast City Council, but one of them was a great idea to build the waterfront hall, the kind of jewel in the crown of Belfast architecture. But look what they allowed to happen to that, Stephen. They allowed the waterfront hall, the beautiful waterfront hall, to be suffocated and smothered by the carabuncles, as Prince Charles used to call them, the carabuncles of architecture that now surround.
Well, now I'm sure beauty's in the eye of the beholder, Jim, and that's your subjective view. And I'm sure both the architect and other people would not be agreeing with you and would say actually it's a beautiful structure. But anyway, let's not get into that.
The waterfront hall being smothered. It is a beautiful structure, but because they allowed the buildings to be built around it like forts, you can't even see it. You can't even see the waterfront hall now from Oxford Street. You can hardly see it. Now, I'm not criticising. The waterfront hall is brilliant. Really proud of that. As a Belfast man, I was really proud of the vision that the council had to build it. Not criticising the waterfront hall.
That's
what they allowed. It's a planning that they allowed to go on around it, Stephen. The planning, not the architecture.
Here's Alec and Ballywalter. Morning, Alec.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
I'm doing all right, thanks. Go ahead.
Just as I said earlier, I'm glad to see all the townies come back to their own place. They've destroyed the country.
What do you mean?
Their attitude, etc. All the wee country towns were inundated with townies.
What attitude? What attitude does a townie have?
They're all smart asses.
You're serious, aren't you?
Yes.
See, you don't like different or new people coming into your area?
Well, the likes of this place here, I'll not say where it is.
Ballywalter.
Aye, well, how did you guess? it's inundated with strangers now. You rarely see any of the locals anymore. Everything had to change and has to be done for the influx of townies.
Oh, come on, for goodness sake. We're all from Northern Ireland, Alec. You're not trying to...
Down here, I used to belong to a club and they talked about them and us. And it didn't mean religion. They meant townies and locals.
Really?
Yes.
So I've moved out of Belfast Town. Do you think I would be bringing a bad smell to the place?
Well, from the sound of things, you're rarely there.
That's true, actually. That's true.
Stephen, nobody was complaining. There's nobody complaining in Ballywalter when the townies, as Alex calls them, were flocking down there during the summer to their
I've never spoken.
And bringing money with them and going into the pubs and the shops and the wee stores. And there was nobody complaining then when the townies were going down during the summer months. So why complain?
No, but the locals did. Most of the locals, it was of no benefit to them whatsoever. The odd shop owner, pub owner, made a few bob, and the prices went up over the summer when all the caravanners came down.
The caravanners?
Yes.
Let's not start with that. I think you're the first human being I've ever spoken to from Ballywalter.
I'm not to say I live there, but I'm not from here.
All right. So you're a blow-in?
No, I'm from the Low Country.
Are you smiling?
Sort of.
Right, Alec, thank you. Morning. I don't know what to say about that. John in Belfast. Morning, John.
Morning.
Go ahead, John.
Well, Stephen, I think it's a very bad idea to bring 60,000 people into Belfast, considering we have thousands upon thousands of people waiting on houses as it is at the moment. I think it'd be a good idea if we looked after our own people in Belfast before we start inviting anybody else into it. Plain and simple.
But do you mean our own people? It's this kind of, I don't know about you, Jim, but it's this kind of closed attitude of our own people. Do we not all want to live in the country and consider the country to be belonging to all of us? Our own people.
I know, Stephen. Look, I don't understand that. What Alex just said there about townies and any other kind of sense where people queuing up to take them to some kind of human rights court or whatever, townies and country people, we're all the same. I do understand the last caller's point about homeless people and how are we going to get them. But that's a strategy that's rolling out. I mean, the housing executive, I think, did, as I said, a smashing job. Now it's up to the people who supply social housing. We've got a load of those organisations that have taken kind of subsumed what the housing executive were doing. But it'll take time. It'll take time. And I know what that caller said. 37,000 new homes. It seems a stretch. But look at that big lump of land lying down where the Sirocco works used to be, Stephen. Look at how long that has laid dormant down there.
Just as an aside, Jim, before you go this morning, because I haven't spoken to you since you retired from the Sunday World as the editor of the Sunday World. How's retirement?
It's a word called alleged, Stephen. All those times I appeared down in the High Court in front of the judges, whenever we were down there on allegedly libel cases or harassment or whatever, I used to say to His Honour or my Lord on the bench, my Lord, we used the word allegedly in that story. We didn't state it as a matter of fact. So allegedly, in terms of my retirement, is a bit of it's a matter of fact, Stephen. But I'm still in my dole, still rocking in my doling, and I'm still rocking.
How are you filling your time, Jim?
I'm writing, Stephen. I've got a very tight deadline. I've got 85,000 words written of a book, and I've got about another 20,000 to do within the next week. So if you want to give me a handout, if you have any spare time in your hand, I know you haven't, but if you'd dictate me about 20,000 words down the line, I'd appreciate it. But I'm pushing that at the minute as well, Stephen. So I'm still working away as a hack. I've never stopped working as a hack. People like me and you, Stephen, we weren't born to stop. We were born to start, and that's the way it is.
Nice to talk to you, Jim. Thanks a lot, sir. Thank you. Morning to you.